preaching. This morning I had a problem. They told me I preached too short of a lesson. So I get a chance to make up for it now. But I told them, I know that in the mornings we have those time limits in terms of the program for television. We really only need 28 minutes. And I was right on the mark, right at 30 minutes. So they didn't get all of the lesson that you'll get a chance to get, but it's in the same vein. We are studying or reading through the Bible. We're doing 365 days journey through the Bible. And we're going to be looking at both the Old Testament and the New Testament this morning. And I just remember when a kid was at one particular church and they were having Memorial Day worship. And for some reason, they had taken all of the pictures of the people who had been veterans, who had passed, and they put them out in the foyer. And this little kid came along and he was looking at all the pictures in the foyer. And he asked the preacher, he says, who are these people? I don't know these people. I ain't never seen any of these people before. Why you got their pictures out there? And he said, oh, well, this is a Memorial Day service, and these are all people who died in the service. And the little kid looked at him. He said, well, did they die in the 8 a.m. service or the 11:15 service? So we don't want anybody to die in the service. So I'm going to not go any more than 29 minutes. So for those of you who have watches, I want you to go ahead, check with your watch right now and starting right now. At 29 minutes, if I'm still up here, you have to help me. Wave your hand like this if I'm up here at 29. Can y'all do that? So I will know that I've reached the... If you don't do this, it could go longer. 29 minutes. And if I'm not down on the floor at 30 minutes, then y'all just stand up. And then I'll know that I've reached my time. I'm looking for some help here. They told me that y'all kind of laid back at 11:15. All right, but I need some help because I'll keep going. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 23. Those who are visiting among us, our elders at the appropriate moment, the elder who have the closing remarks, he will ask you to stand. You don't have to say anything, but we want to see and know who you are. 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, as we are journeying through the Bible in 365 days. This is exciting. If you have not started reading through the Bible, grab you one of the reading sheets. There should be some still in the foyer, and you can just start right where you are reading through the Bible, and this is where we would be today for those of you if you have not yet started. So we're in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, and in John chapter 7 in the journey through the Bible. The Bible reads in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 2, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priest, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. An amazing thing. Josiah is the king. He's a boy king. He comes to the throne. He's only 8 years old. Can you imagine being ruled by a king that's only 8 years old? Certainly he had those who surrounded him, and they were counseling him and guiding him. And when he's been sitting on the throne now for about 8 years, an amazing thing happens. He's got these restoration projects that are going on, and people are working on the temple, the house of God. And as they're working on the temple, the house of God, somebody finds in the house of God a book that had been lost. It was the Word of God. And the Word of God was lost in the house of God. Is that amazing that the Word of God could become lost in the house of God. And this 16-year-old king was brokenhearted because they read the word of God to him, and he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, because he recognized that the people of God had not been doing any of the things that they were commanded to do by the word of God. He called for the elders. He called for the scribes. He called for all of those who were his counsel and surrounding him. And he told them, we're not doing what I have found written in this book. And he called for all of the people. Everybody come together. When you find the word of God, do you want everybody to come together? Do you want everybody to come and hear the word of God? And the people stood and they read the word of God. And this boy king has started a revitalization among the people of God. And he's standing and he's having this read. Call the men of Judah. Call all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Call the priests. Call the prophets. Call the small. Call the great. Call those of name, those not of name. And they read the book. Can we read the book of God? Brother, we ought to be spending time with the book, because if we're not careful, what happens in Josiah's day, we can find out that the word of God has become lost in the house of God. He called for everybody. Josiah consecrated himself, dedicated himself, and all of the people to hear and to do the word of God. Amen. In 2 Kings 23 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book. He called everybody together and he asked people, can we do this? Can we do what God has commanded us to do? And I ask this assembled audience, can we do this? Can we do what God has commanded for us to do? Can we be about the business of making sure that the word of God never gets lost again in the house of God? And the people all together, the Bible says, and all the people stood to the covenant. You know what they said? They said, we can do this. We can make sure that we hold on to the word of God. We can make sure that we do the commands of God. We can make sure that the word of God is never lost again in the house of God. So I ask folks to help me. Y'all got to help me with, I'm calling for the small. I'm calling for the great. I'm calling for everybody from the elders to the person that's sitting outside in the foyer that don't want to come in yet. Do I need to preach a little louder? Turn to the people closest to you and say to them, don't lose the word of God. Brother, we can't lose it. Don't lose the word of God. Don't misplace the word of God. And when we come to the house of God, you know what we ought to hear? We ought to hear the word of God. Amen. Don't lose the word in the house. The people heard it and the people agreed to it. And they said, we're going to do what the word of God says. Have you ever heard of people talking a good talk? Anybody ever heard that there's some people that talk a good talk? Do you talk a good talk? Oh, everybody getting quiet now. You don't talk a good talk. All right. So some people, we're told we can talk a good talk, but the question is, do we walk a good walk? Do you know that they say that we make promises with our mouths that we don't keep? Amen. Are you aware of that? Amen. All of the people, all of Jerusalem, all of Judah, the small people, the great people, the elders, the preachers, the prophets, the priests, all of them say, yeah, we're going to do it. But they were just talking a good talk. But during Josiah's time, Josiah made sure that he did everything that he could. You know, one person can make a difference. He did everything that he could to bring God's people back to the Word of God.
Amen.
In the Bible, it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Is that in your Bible? Paul told the young evangelist Timothy, he says, listen, preach what? What was he telling him to preach? Y'all got help me. Preach what? When we come to the house of God, you know what? We don't need anything better or more than we need the Word of God. Preach the Word. He says, be instant. That means preach it where? Instantly. Be on time with it, if you will, in that respect. Preach it when people want to hear it. Be instant in season. When people want to hear the Word of God, what's the responsibility? Okay, all right. Don't draw the lesson out so long now. Yeah. When people want to hear it, what do? Be instant in season, out of season. When people don't want to hear it, preach the Word. Don't let the Word of God get lost in the house. Because we can come to this house, and if people are not acclimated to hearing and receiving and learning the Word of God, we don't want to hear it. Be instant in season and out of season with all what is the word? Long suffering. You know what long suffering is? That's to suffer long. That's to suffer long. And this might be some long suffering this morning. Suffer long. Go through what you have to go through to preach and teach the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hold on to the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't let the Word of God become lost in the house of God.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody hungry? Y'all about time is starting where you start to get hungry? We're talking about food for just a second here. Anybody ever heard of a hamburger? You know what hamburger? Who has the best hamburger? Whataburger? All right. That's Texas. In Texas, you know, you can't get, you, maybe some parts of Louisiana, you can, but you can get Whataburger in Texas. How about a Whataburger and a medium fry? Or do we get the extra large? So somebody's offering you a good burger, Whataburger, whatever it may be, with fries. And somebody else comes in, and you can only choose one. And they offer you a plate of steamed carrots and broccoli. No cheesy sauce or nothing. You can only have one. Which one do you want? The veggies? All right, we got some veggie people over here. Now, I would say how many folk want the burger and fries, but I don't want y'all to start waving like my time is over. But just think about that. Which sounds more appealing? You know what? Oh, veggies over here, too. You know what? You know what is healthier for us? The vegetables apparently are healthier for us. You know what we are used to? We're used to what some people categorize as junk food. And we are more apt to eat the junk food than we are to eat the healthy food. Brother Wilkson, what in the world has that got to do with the Word of God? Because we got a lot of junk food in religion today. We got a lot of easy stuff that does not have anything to do with our souls and our salvation. We have a lot of stuff that's popping up in the body of Christ. And the Word of God can get lost in the house because folk are giving us junk food instead of the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't ever let the Word of God get lost in the house of God.
Amen.
How do I know that it can happen and it does happen? Because it's right here in the book. Read the book. Study the book. Give us the book. Give us the Word of God. And it's just where we happen to be in our journey through the Bible in 365 days. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, Paul told Timothy, look at what he told him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, he said, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Did you get that? Even in the first century after Christ has come, Paul is telling Timothy, there's coming a time when the church won't want to hear the word of God. We take that and we apply it to the denominations. But this is written to the members of the family of God. Amen. That in the house of God, amen, the word of God can get lost all over again. The time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine. But what they will do, it says, they shall, after their own lusts, heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that means? There comes a time when people are like, oh, just tell us something that sounds good. Tell us something to entertain us. Tell us something to make us feel good, inspire us. But don't give us the word of God. But Paul is warning Timothy in the first century, and over 1,900 plus years ago, is something that we still have to beware of, because people sometimes, if we're not careful, we get junk food instead of the vegetables.
Amen.
We want to agree today that we're not going to let the word of God get lost in this local house.
Amen.
Preach the word. Teach the word. In verse number 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, look, and they shall turn away their ears from, what's the word? They will turn away their ears from the truth.
Right.
Is that in your Bible?
Right.
Did Paul miss something here? No, he didn't miss it. Because the time came then, it came under the children of Israel, under the old law, and we've got to guard against it today. People want junk food rather than the vegetables. They will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to what? Fables. Give us a good story. Tell us something to entertain us. But it's only the truth of the word of God that has eternal consequences for salvation. It's the only thing that can save us. It's the only thing that can save our friends. It's the only thing that can save our families. And we need men that are going to stand up and suffer long to teach the truth.
Amen.
We need women that are going to be strong, that will stand up and ask for and teach the truth.
Amen.
Don't be turned to stuff that tickles our ears, make us feel good. It's entertaining. We like it, but it does not have anything to do with your salvation. And it won't save anybody else.
Amen.
They found the book lost in the house. How do we get people sanctified? How do we get people into the body of Christ? How do we prepare ourselves to be with God? The Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth. That's right. What is truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Get this. What is truth? The word of God is truth. All right. So turn to the people closest to you around. Make sure they haven't gone to sleep yet and tell them the word of God is truth.
Amen.
Okay, some of y'all going like, I'm preaching now. I need to get a check. No. Are you keeping track of the time? Y'all need to keep track of the time because, you know, I got some stuff up in here. We can cover some stuff. Oh, man, this is some great, great information to share. We need to understand, what is going to save the world? What's going to save the world? Is it going to be the fables? Is it going to be the interesting stories? The things that keep us entertained? Look, the word of God is the only thing that can save the soul of men and women.
Amen.
The truth of the word of God is the only thing that will save. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3, notice this, the Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy says again, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul said, there's some folks teaching stuff over there. When I was in Macedonia, I told you stay there in Ephesus because there are some folks teaching stuff over there that is not helpful, that will not lead to salvation. That's not going to create stable Christians in the kingdom of Jesus God. Stay there. And you tell them, we want the word of God.
Amen.
Teach the word of God. It's the only salvation that we have.
Amen.
Thy word is truth. And the truth of the gospel is the only thing that can save us.
Amen.
And we must preach and teach the truth. And you tell some of them folks that's teaching stuff over there that ain't got nothing to do with the doctrine, you tell them, you know, move that away. We can't have that. That's the responsibility of the leadership. That's responsibility of the elders, responsibility of the preachers, responsibility of the Bible school teachers, making sure that we give the word of God.
Amen.
But you know what happened? In Josiah's day, he had discovered that the people had forgotten the word of God.
Right.
The elders didn't know the word of God. The prophets didn't know the word of God. The scribes didn't know the word of God. And therefore, the people did not know the word of God. And God says, I'm going to put me some new elders in charge. God says, I'm going to send my own shepherd. He's going to send Jesus. And now, even after Jesus has come, we got to remind folks, stay with the word.
Amen.
Stay with the word.
Amen.
Jeremiah is a contemporary of Josiah. That's my $25 word. I get to use one of them every once in a while. The contemporary. That means that Jeremiah was preaching at the same time that Josiah was king. Jeremiah preached over about four different kingdoms. He preached for about 41 years. And the way that we gauge success, Jeremiah was perhaps the most unsuccessful preacher of all time. Jeremiah preached, and people go, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do it. And kept on partying hardy. Kept on doing what they chose to do, whatever they wanted to. In Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah writes during this time, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 1. He told him, he says, Jeremiah, run through the streets. Run it up and down the streets. He says, run fro in Jerusalem. Find a man that seeketh truth. Find one man that's holding on to the word of God. Find one man, and he says, I will pardon Jerusalem. I will pardon Judah. You know what he said? There's nobody there that's doing right. There's nobody holding on to the word of God. There's nobody. So you know what? Destruction is going to come up on this city. But you know what he said? He said, look, we can't find anybody doing it. He said, but Josiah, since you turned to me with your whole heart, you know, I'm not going to do it while you live it. But Josiah, I'm going to hold them here. But you know what? They're going to have to get out of my house. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What would it be like if God came to us and say, you are not holding on to the word of God. You got to get out of my house. Anybody got kids? Don't raise your hand. Anybody got kids in your house? One brother said the best kind of kids are the ones that are grown, gone, and on their own. I'm just saying, that's what he said, y'all. Grown, gone, and on their own. You can write all those down. Brother told me his son, 6'4", big, strong young man, and he went out there into the world, and he fell on some hard times and said, Daddy, I'm going to need to come back home. And he said, son, well, you know, it's your home. You can always come back to the home and everything. And he says, it's going to be the same rules as when you were there before. He's like, what you talking about, Daddy? He says, well, you don't get a key to the house. You didn't have a key? No, he says, and you still got to be in at 10 o'clock. Daddy, I'm a grown man. He said, yeah, but you come into my house. You have to abide by my rules. If you're going to stay in my house, the rules haven't changed, just your situation has changed. What about God's conditions for us to remain in his house? I'm not talking about this physical building. You understand? I'm not talking about this physical building. I'm talking about remaining in a covenant relationship with God. How long? God told the children of Judah, if you do what I ask you to do, I didn't command you to go out here and be making all these burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as I commanded you. Obey my word. Do what I tell you. God expects for his children in every dispensation to do what he has asked us to do.
Amen.
Jeremiah could not find a man that was holding on to the word of God. When I read that, I was wondering, well, God, did that include Jeremiah too? He the prophet. Jeremiah got put in prison for trying to tell people what thus saith the Lord. You know, folk don't like it if we're telling people stuff that we don't want to hear because we know that we ain't doing it. And folk don't, and we don't have the appetite for it, but we still have the responsibility for it. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 31, get this, look at this. This is in your Bible. I promise you, I didn't make it up. It's right there. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 31. It says, the prophets prophesy. Wait a minute. Am I reading it right? Wait, the prophets prophesy. What's the word? Wait, no, the preachers ain't telling the truth. The prophets prophesy falsely. What? Read. And the priests bear rule by their means. The priests, you know what they were in the business for? The priests were making money. The priests bear rule by their means. You give me enough money, you can do whatever you want to do. Lord have mercy. Selling out. He says, and get this, and my people love to have it. They were popular. My people love to have it so. And now he asks a question, and what will ye do in the end thereof? God is saying, is that going to save you? Is that going to get you in your relationship with God? Is that going to get us where we need to be? You know, the only thing that gets us in relationship with God the way that we need to be is when we hold on to and don't let go the truth of the word of God.
Amen.
Don't turn aside from the word of God. Amen. Because there is an end that is coming. There is a judgment that is coming. Does anybody know what day it is? The judgment is coming. Does anybody know? Is it today? If it was today, would anybody do anything different? Would anybody be, oh Lord? Anybody be confessing something today?
Amen.
Anybody be asking for prayers for today?
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. God continued to deal with his people for really over hundreds of years. He's moving down now toward the end of the southern kingdom. And in 605 BC, they're going to have the first wave of deportation into Babylon because God's people were hard-headed people. We need to learn from the example of the people in the Bible. We don't want to be hard-headed when it comes to the word and the will of God. Don't let the word of God get lost in the house. You know what happens when we get the word of God lost in the house? Look what happened to the children of Israel. If you go to go through and read 2 Kings chapter 23. Because in the house of God, they had vessels for the god Baal that were now in God's house. How could worship objects for Baal be in God's house? They had people who were ordained as priests that did not qualify to be priests. Right next door to the house of God, there was a household of prostitution for the Sodomites that was right next door to the house of God. It's an amazing thing. It was built right next to the temple in the house of God. The women had made some hangings that they used when the women went out and the people went out into the groves and the forest. They were celebrating all of the host of heaven in God's house. Josiah, when he heard the word of God, he said, we're not going to have it run like this. And he tore all that stuff down. He's going, no. As long as I'm king, you know what? We're not going to have that stuff here. He started dragging stuff down, burning stuff, and he stamped it into powder, throw it in the water. He's like, what? No, tear that down. Take it out. We are not going to have this. Man, it's good when brothers stand up, when men stand up and say, we're going to stand on the word of God.
Amen.
We can have a restoration We can have a reformation or restoration, if you will, get back to the things that we find in the Word of God. We have to hold on to the Word of God.
Amen.
Josiah went and he tore down the temples that were built to Ashtoreth, to Chemosh, to Milcom. He even went and he tore down the altar in Bethel where the golden calf had been set up. Josiah said, as long as I am on this, we're going to stay with the Word of God. Man, can we say that? We're going to stay with the Word of God. Now, I don't want to make anybody lie. I don't want to make anybody lie. So if you don't want to stay with the Word of God, don't say anything to your neighbor right now, okay? But if you want to stay with the Word of God, turn to your neighbor in front of, behind, or around you somewhere and tell them, we're going to stay with the Word of God. And if they didn't say nothing to you, you know they didn't want to lie. I understand. Man, I haven't gotten to John yet. And none of y'all waved your hand, and it's 29 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm down here now, but turn to John chapter 7. Turn to John chapter 7. Let's see. Let me find a landing place. Can I land there? No. Can I land? Where can I? You know what? Go to John chapter 7. And let's get verse number 5 and 6. John chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. Jesus was becoming known as a prophet among all the people. But you know what? His brothers didn't even believe in him.
Right.
And they said, hey, okay, since you the Son of God and all of this, won't you go on up to Jerusalem and just go up there and let them know that you God's Son? And notice in verse number 5, for neither did his brothers believe in him.
Bible it right.
Grow up in the house with Jesus? And you don't believe who Jesus is, the Son of God. Notice in verse number 6. In verse number 6. Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. I'm having to finish up here.
All right.
Have you ever noticed that some people that always know what you ought to be doing?
Uh-huh. Right.
Let me tell you what you
right.
need to do, Levi.
Uh-huh. What?
Okay. He say what? let me tell you what you need to do, Arcel. Have you ever noticed that some people can tell you what you ought to be doing?
Right.
They don't see what they... let me put the mic over here. The brother say they don't see what they supposed to be doing. Are we good at telling other people what they...
Right.
And they'll tell... Jesus say... my time is not yet ready. And you know what they were saying in John chapter 7? And he goes through, he says, look, people not trying to kill y'all.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm telling the truth, people are trying to kill me.
Right.
And if you tell, do you know if you tell people the truth, they will not always like you?
That's true. That's right.
That's why sometimes you have to suffer long if you tell people the truth. Long
Amen.
Suffering. You're not going to be popular with everybody.
Amen.
But listen, when you're preaching and teaching the word of God, it's not about being popular. It's about being all right with God.
Amen.
Go to John chapter 7 and verse number 17. Let's see. Can we go ahead? And how do you know when people are preaching and teaching the word of God? Okay. You want to preach the rest of this?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm looking.
Okay. I'm going to stop. All right. John 7, verse number 17. How do you know when people are preaching and teaching the word of God? We have to develop an appetite for the word of God, number
Amen.
One. And we
Amen.
Need to demand the word of God.
Amen.
It's okay to ask questions about what we teach.
Right.
It's okay to inquire. Now listen. One of the things I learned from a great teacher that we had here by the name of Brother Bob Adams. Brother Bob Adams, he
Amen.
Told us, look,
Amen.
We don't teach lessons. We teach students. Did you get that?
Yeah.
There's a big difference. He talked about we need
right.
to build bridges from where people are to where they need to go.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not about us. It's not about our knowledge or our information.
Right.
It's about taking the student from where they are to where God needs for us to be.
Amen.
So we teach students. The lessons are our guidelines to get people to go. Now, I'm going to just say this, and I'm extending the invitation. Has anybody ever ridden the bus, metro, or anything? Yeah. Anybody, just by show here, anybody ever ridden the bus beside me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I came to Houston, boy, I tell you, and it's like, you know, I'm going to ride the bus and all that kind of stuff. Man, I was good. I was getting out there. I had my schedules and all that stuff and where I was supposed to be at what time. I'm going to tell you something that I learned about the bus. If you are not where you're supposed to be, when the bus comes, some of y'all are laughing like you know where I'm going with this.
That's true. I'm talking,
I could be close.
That's right.
They could see me.
Right.
They know I'm coming for you. I ride the bus every day. And you see me coming.
Right.
And I'm getting up there, and the bus goes,
right. Right.
Drive off and leave
that's
me.
Right. That don't do it.
And sometimes I think the bus driver had to be smiling. Mm. All right. What's the point? It's that what our responsibility is as we're driving the gospel bus,
All right.
The word of God, is make sure that we don't leave anybody behind.
Amen.
Get everybody on the bus.
Amen.
I hope you can understand the analogy that I'm making here. Because it's only the word of God
Amen.
That can save a man's soul. We want everybody on the bus of the word of God. Whenever we come together, we like to take the opportunity to confess our faults one to another. But James says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is there anybody that stands in need of prayer?
Amen.
Then come and we'll talk to God on your behalf. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, in John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the truth shall make you free. You know what the truth is? I tell people, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of truth here. Did you know that 1 + 1 = 2? Is that true?
Yeah.
All right. That's true. But that's not the truth that will make you free.
Right.
The Son is 92,700,007 miles from the earth. We rounded off around to 93 million miles. The Son is from the earth. Is that true? Oh, thank you, brother. Brother said, I don't know. All right. But that's true. Somebody had a really long tape measure, I guess. I don't know. But that's not the truth that will set you free.
It's not
the truth that will make you
free. Right.
The only truth that will make us free is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for our sins.
Amen.
And he was buried. He arose the third day according to the scriptures.
Thank you, Lord.
And Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. That is the basic elemental doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. And if you will repent, that's the idea of turning from self and sin and turning to God and confess with your mouth that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God and give your body to be washed in water, baptized.
Amen.
You'll be born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit, be a new child
that's
in Christ.
Bible.
And you're on your way to the promised land. But you know what? We still need to eat. And as newborn babes, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. Don't have folk giving your baby no hamburger when they need baby food.
Amen.
There's a whole nother lesson there.
Amen.
Feed the babies what they need to be fed. If you try to feed a baby a hamburger, they will put you in jail.
Amen.
Their stomach is not ready for it. You'll kill the baby. So if there are any who are subject to the invitation, we'd ask that you come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?